Welcome to episode 65 of the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast. Today is December the 23rd, 2012. That's Christmas Eve Eve, if you're wondering. I am Matthew Dean Furlough, and this is my Armageddon surviving brother, James Furlough.
I made it, and I'm ready for the zombies. Bring them on.
Baby. Did you have did you have a good end of the world party on Friday?
If by good you mean, like, hung out with my wife and watched a movie drinking eggnog? Yes.
I suppose we can define good however
watching
we want to.
Home Alone 2?
That sounds kind of fun. I did make it out into town for the end of the world festivities, and it was crazy. it could not have been more packed out there.
Wow.
But a good time was had by many, including
there
me.
Were like zero indications, you know, like, I don't want to say it, not even just during the day, but like the lead up to the day. You're just like, it doesn't feel like it's going to end, you know, and you'd expect it to like feel like it, you know, with the way
you get the
feeling tremors. The Mayans were like, it's not just like going to stop, it's like going to explode or something.
Right, you know, not necessarily like big earthquakes, but little earthquakes, maybe some bad weather, you know, like, you know, I don't know, but yeah,
it's nice
evidently
out.
Exactly. It's weird. I was a little disappointed.
This does mean there are some forecasts we're going to have to go back and slightly tweak. Because it can't be zeros anymore.
Oh, yeah.
We did used to joke about that. Like, what if we gave a forecast that was just zero? Oh, it's a Mayan apocalypse. It's done. It's good. Zeros.
No, don't worry about it, guys. It's the end of time, so why would we care?
Yeah. Oh, you want my forecast? What's it based on? Mayan calendar.
Yeah. It seems legit to me.
Yeah.
I was like, that's sort of like the joke in the similar vein of when I was working at Calera and we were trying to save the world by reducing CO2 emissions. And on really cold days, or like rainy days, inevitably, like, we'd be doing in the middle of some project and somebody would go like, it's so cold, we gotta stop working so hard, we gotta raise the temperature a little.
I like it.
Anyways, we are not here to talk about inside jokes at our jobs. We are here to talk about technology and the continuing
inside
corp opera,
jokes
or
in the tech world.
Exactly. It's a little different. But this week, like every week, we will be talking about technology. Oh, wait, I just said that. By corporate opera, I mean the soap opera of corporations' dealings back and forth, the people working for them, their marketing campaigns, and the technology that they are developing. Before we get into the heart of the show, James has a short disclosure about where those inside jokes come from.
Yes, I work for HP. However, during this podcast, I do not represent HP or any of their opinions.
Cool. I like it.
That's it.
You're up for... Oh, wait, that's... No. That's right. Then we got to do the rest of the show and show. Wow, man. It is...
You're on break, huh? On holiday?
Well, I'm actually not. I have work tomorrow morning. That's the worst
part
of this. I know. I got work a half day.
Horrible. I hope work having day actually means like going out to breakfast and building community between you and your fellow employees.
No, I have to go on a sales call tomorrow. It's pretty awesome.
Other people working?
Yeah, like our whole, I know, it's crazy. But the point is,
I guess we get paid for that, cool.
It, you know, honestly, better than not working, which, you know, there were brief spouts this year that, and I'm all right with it. And I get the important part of the day off, the afternoon. Anyways, if you want to follow us throughout the world and follow our trials and tribulations, like me commenting on the fact that I like wild turkeys, which, by the way, I do, you can follow me at Matthew D. Furlough on Twitter.
And on mine, at James Furlough, I made a comment about how in an effort to save money, I turned the heater off for a while, and as a result, my dog hates me. using this Lyft called app. Using this app called Lyft. And yeah. I actually got a tweet back from the CEO going, "No props on that. We are officially a dog friendly company." Love it.
That's awesome. Yeah, I didn't get a lot of love on the Twitter this week. I was kind of disappointed. I thought I threw some gems out there, but evidently nobody agreed.
The Twittersphere is a fickle beast, my friend.
It really is. My brother. It really is. my little brother. I'm glad I pushed it all to Facebook, though, because I get a little more love on the Facebook, and so it's nice. But anyways, if you want to follow the show, we do have a show Twitter. It's at Furlough Bros. You can also go to furloughbros.com. That's got all your clicks, links, information. Any of the articles that we talk about tonight are hosted there as well as places where you can tweet and like us and get all our contact information. You can comment. I mean, it's just a hub. It is a center of the universe. It is awesome. Go check it out. And, you know, we like to ask if you do enjoy the show and you think it brings value and sunshine to your life, then, you know, share it with a friend. That's the best type of advertising. And we will cut you a good percentage of all money that we earn based on
this week only. We are opening up, it's a 50% profit share of our revenue. If you share with your friends, you will get a lot. And I mean, we're talking about millions of internet credits.
Exactly. This is big news. This is big stuff. Internet money. But yeah, if you like the show, please, we'd appreciate it a great deal. And like always, if you don't like the show, keep it to yourself. Anyways,
so Netflix, as you know, plays on many, many, many devices.
Like what? I can only watch it on my computer. That's not true.
They stream onto your iPhone.
That's true.
Your Android phone, your Xbox, your Nintendo Wii, your Roku, your I think they're real on like TiVo. Are they still around? You don't hear TiVo? Much about TiVo.
I don't actually know, which is not stellar for a
you know. For our podcast. You can watch them on Apple TV.
Oh, baby.
I'm sure. Oh, I bet you PlayStation, PS3.
Probably. I know for a fact.
Probably
I've used
handheld.
I've used it on PlayStation, PS3.
You can watch Netflix. In lots of different places.
Yes.
Their goal, from what I understand, is it's over 900 different devices.
Whoa.
Their goal is to be able to, anytime there's a different, you know, a viewing surface, they want to be on it. Okay?
Nice.
So they made a little video on how they do what they do. It's a recruiting video, so they're kind of talking about how awesome they are. So, fun little tidbit here. In order to stream video everywhere, Netflix literally has to encode their videos 120 different ways.
Wow.
So you look at their library, like times 120.
That's huge. Now, and they do that. Why? I guess you gotta have different definitions. So you have to have your HD, your standard Ds, your low Ds.
There's different screen sizes, bitrate requirements, and codec support.
Right. Okay. That makes sense. That's a lot of times, man.
And when you're on 900 different devices, I'm not surprised that there's a couple permutations of it.
Yeah, that's crazy. What was I just thinking about? I was just thinking about that today, about the idea of, you know. Oh, I was thinking about like. I can't remember what I was thinking about. But this is basically this premise of, like, the idea of, like, you know, people need to – I think it was, like, Pandora and quality of music that you get across the stream. But, yeah, I mean, that's a huge hurdle for those, you know, network engineers, because not only do you need, you know, just tons and tons of different formats, but you need a lot of different copies of it too.
I'll store it on some server somewhere.
Yeah. Somewhere, not Los Gatos, but I do drive by their world headquarters quite frequently. Actually, I have a friend who we hung out Friday night for the end of the world. And he's new to the area, and we're, like, driving down the road. And I was like, oh, yeah, by the way, that's Netflix. And he goes, well, that's kind of cool. They, like, you know, they just got some offices out here. I was like, no, that's Netflix. that's everything but the warehouses. That's where they do all the programming and all the amazing, awesome stuff. He's like, whoa. it's weird, I know. Like, he's, you know, they're here. But
they're like here. Yeah, so man. I thought that was just a cool little, you know, tidbit of information. 120 times.
That is cool. Anything else interesting, or is it just...
Yeah, probably, but I watched the video a while ago, and that was the thing that I remember.
It was on Tuesday. I got you. No worries. So, Kodak is not doing as, you know, not doing stellar right now. They're having a few troubles. They're trying to avoid their own fiscal cliff, as it were. They're filing bankruptcy. And one of the big ways that they're trying to become solvent again is to sell off all of their...
which is really just so they can close their doors peacefully instead of it being, like, ugly, right? Because, I mean...
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
They're done, right? I mean, that's...
Yeah, I don't know what else they would do. I mean, they might sell it to somebody. That's the only thing that I can think, is they might sell the brand to somebody on top of, you know, take care of all the financial stuff, then sell the brand for a couple million. But, They finally settled the patent stuff. They are selling their patents for $525 million.
That's
it's gonna go a big way to help end their bankruptcy issues. Guess who they sold their patents to? Who's got that in their war chest now? How's that gonna help everything else? Just guess.
I'm guessing some of it will go. It'll be like, what do we got? Apple, Google, Microsoft.
Well, you're gonna guess all of them.
Oh, I have to choose one.
Yeah.
I would probably, you know, Apple has a lot of money to spend.
It's true. Well, basically, this is like one of those weird ones where I think everybody just decided to play it cool, and it basically sold them to everybody.
Among
the consortium, Adobe is in on it, Amazon, Apple, Facebook, Fujitsu, Google, Huawei Technologies Co. Limited, HTC Core, Microsoft,
right?
Research and Motion, Samsung Electronics Limited, Shutterfly, and I think that's just the top of it. They basically, all the giant tech companies are like, we don't want to fight over these ones. They just kind of all went in together. Which is an interesting, which is an interesting philosophy, because usually when you have, like, two competing groups, it actually raises the price dramatically, which I think is what Kodak would have wanted. They would have loved to have had Apple and Google and Microsoft and, you know, Samsung all lined up against each other so that somebody could control those, because then all of a sudden you'd be talking, you're paying a few billion for these things. But because they all decided to work together, they only got $500 million. Still a lot of money, but I'm sure not quite as much as they were hoping.
$500 million is not as much as $1 billion.
Yeah.
It says it will likely be a different company when it exits bankruptcy. Duh. It'll be out of the consumer business and focus instead on providing products and services to the commercial imaging market.
Interesting. I wonder what that means, because I don't get it.
Like Kinko's? I don't know, because like newspapers maybe, or magazine
maybe.
Printers.
Oh yeah, okay.
Dude, who knows?
Yeah, I think they're just gonna try to recreate themselves, keep the brand because it's a, you know,
yeah,
it's Kodak.
Like, we got a good brand. And we have some people who haven't quit yet. Let's see what we can do.
Exactly. Try to turn it around. You can't blame them for trying.
I would try.
Yeah, it's just funny, you know, despite all of the, I guess one of the things that I thought was interesting is, despite all of the, you know, the fanboys on every side of the line and everybody, you know, joining on one side or another and the perceived slights to each other, like, to a large degree, these are just businessmen, you know, and, like, they oftentimes can't just sit down and, like, not care about personalities and, okay, we're just going to work together so that we all save a bunch of money because... We're not going to go to war over the Kodak patents. The guys who, like, yeah. They're such an old company with so many foundational patents that it's, you know, it's important.
It's kind of weird how there's, like, there is one set of photo wars going on that we talked on last week involving Instagram and, you know, now Snapchat and they talk, you know, Twitter and that other one. Wow, we're doing great. Flickr. But then there's like this whole other level, you know, like taking pictures.
Right. Yeah. And it's and it's interesting how cool everybody is about all that. You know, that you don't have the Qualcomm, you know, patents. You don't have the touch patents. It's just one of those, like, you can tell there's a much, I almost feel like it's because it's such foundation. I get, my guess would be that nobody really feels like they could have an upper hand because there's just so many patents out there. There's so much intellectual property. There's such old companies. And it's like, cause you know, you think about it, it's like if Apple were to decide to, we're going to buy all the Kodak patents and use that in our battle against whoever, like, you're not just going to be going against Google. You're literally going to be taking on pretty much anybody who's ever sold a camera ever, which is a bit of a bigger deal.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it's interesting. Well, and not to mention, it turns out you can't make very much money off of this stuff. You can just ask Kodak.
Yeah, really.
It's interesting. I thought it was a, you know, just sort of, that one's, it's wrapping up nicely. You know, hopefully Kodak stays around. Obviously they own that little chunk of Disneyland, so they, you know, get to keep that, which is cool, I guess.
Good for them. Have that win.
Yeah, except, like, when my kids are old enough to understand, they're going to be like, what's Kodak? You know, I'll have to explain. You know how when you save a document in, you know, in Word, how it has that little icon and you have no idea what that icon is? That's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's dead technology.
That's exactly what I was thinking about, actually, is that floppy disk image. Right. It's like, yeah. That... Some old engineer made that without thinking, kid.
Yep. Yeah.
And by old, I mean 35.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Last month.
Oh, man.
But, no. Well, interesante.
So there was some big news this week, huh?
Yeah. There was a bit.
We're talking about, you know, photo wars, right?
Yeah. Okay, this one is multifaceted. I marked it as a short story, but I think it actually is a long story.
That's okay. I'll permit it.
Thank you. So Facebook introduced a new app called Poke, which
Poke.
I saw. And I was like, I thought it was. I didn't even bother looking at it. I was like, I can poke people now. I've been able to poke on your website literally since it was started. And you want to know it, Facebook? Nobody has ever come to terms with what a poke is. So
do
I'm
you,
not even
can you
like.
Still poke on Facebook?
Yeah, it's like buried deep within there, like the recesses of how you like do stuff. It's crazy, but I still. The whole poking thing is, oh my gosh, what a strange beast that was. And I thought they just kind of like let that die into the recesses of everybody's memories, but they didn't. They reinvigorated it with the Poke app, which is, I am told, basically a clone of Snapchat, which I had never heard of before this afternoon when I started looking into this whole dealio.
So let's start with this.
What is Snapchat?
So I haven't downloaded it, but I have used it on someone else's phone.
Okay.
Not surprisingly, she had just recently graduated high school. With the high school youth group. High school youth group.
Well,
right?
So group. Tell me why it's not surprising, because That was one of the unanimous comments that I saw, like, in all the articles I read. Everybody was like, not surprisingly, it's meant for the younger ages. I was like, what do you mean it's meant for the younger ages? Like,
I don't know.
I can't even figure out what it is.
The reason why I said not surprisingly is because everyone else has been saying that, and that's my one anecdote. The one time I've literally seen it, it was with someone who recently graduated college, which she was like, yeah, this is amazing, this is awesome. And what happened is I read a Wired magazine article about Snapchat and Cinegram, and they were like, these are the two fastest growing photo sharing apps in the App Store, they're amazing. And so I was like, all right, I'll look into it. So I looked into both. I actually downloaded Cinegram, didn't download Snapchat. And then I was at church, and this girl was using it, and I was like, oh, I gotta see this, tell me about it, because I had recently read about it. And so the idea is basically, think like, you know how you can send a text message and attach a picture to it?
Yes.
It's like that. You take it, but it's more like the other way around. You take a picture, and then you can append a message to that picture, okay? Which is, okay, like imposed on top of the picture, if I remember correctly, right?
All right, cool.
And then you send it to your friend. Now, the weird thing about it is, not necessarily weird, or the fun thing, is you can also set a time limit for how long your friend has to see the photo, which I believe, yeah, here it is. It's like either 1, 3, 5, or 10 seconds, okay?
Okay.
Your friend says, oh, yeah, I'm going to look at this, and hopefully not by accident, because they look at it. They look at it for 3 seconds. Boom, gone. Deleted.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Hopefully they remembered what you put.
I will tell you this. I did download the app because I couldn't.
Snapchat or Poke?
Snapchat.
Ah.
So, and the first thing I found was that I have no friends.
Ah, which means I have none.
I have a few friends that I was like, I don't know. I don't know if I want to like test this out with these people. Like, you know, do my nerd thing. So I was thinking,
should I download it so we can try it live?
Do it. Okay. Definitely.
So go ahead, tell me about your experience.
So this is the thing. Basically, they send you a temporary message, or they send you your first message, and you have like this notification center with all your different notes, and you touch on each one, and then it'll come up. It'll actually, as you're holding on to it, it will show you the picture with the text and everything. And then when you let go of it, it'll go away, and it'll pause with the amount of time that you have left. So you can like, if you get distracted, you take your thumb off. It's not going to go away in 3 seconds.
Okay, that's cool.
3 seconds from when you touch it. That's nice. Okay.
3 seconds
okay.
of touching it.
And then what happens is, you're left with this little reminder of like, oh, this person sent you this message, and it just kind of hangs there until you clear it. Okay. So it's totally, I get it. I understand the principle of how this thing works. Now I have to ask the question of, why the heck does anybody use this?
So what I saw, they were literally making plans for when they were going to meet up. And that she was just like, each time she was just like, just take a goofy picture of her face, send the text message, but use that instead of sending a text message.
What?
I don't know. Maybe you have a text message plan and this is a way of getting around it.
See, this is...
I got to do an account?
Just give me your email and password. It's like it's actually pretty painless. It's one of the least painless account settings that I've ever logged into. Which I appreciate it deeply, and it's only because they haven't been bought by Facebook yet that I believe that that's. But we'll get into that.
Which is what's interesting.
So I actually thought this app was interesting in and of itself. That's why I decided to want to talk about it, because this is the first time that an app has made me feel seriously old. Because it's like, this clearly, everybody says this is clearly meant for the younger generation. And I went there, and I sat there and I went, what do you mean it's clearly for the younger generation? I opened it up and I went, I don't get it. Why are we doing this? How is this fun at all? Like, what is this? And, you know, because you say like, yeah, you can get around, you know, the texting limit. But Facebook Messenger app is the exact same thing, except, you know, it allows you to have messages. And, you know, and it, like, saves your conversation in case you need it later, which I'm not exactly sure why that's not important to, evidently, the legions of kids. See, my thing is, I don't get...
Maybe the inbox truly is dead.
What?
Maybe the inbox truly is dead.
Maybe. Maybe, but...
I have two. Oh, yeah. People that I would consider adding.
Me?
You're one of them. Success.
Go for it.
Added to my contacts. So I have a little box here. A minute ago, press and hold to view. Oh. Welcome. Snapchat is easy. Take a photo, set a timer, send to a friend. Boop. Oh, and I got 2 seconds, 1 second. Gone. Are you sure you want to clear your feed? Yeah, I'm sure. All right. Don't have any snaps. All right, let's take a picture of me. Okay, now what I got to do is what? I got to add something. No, that's not it. How do I add a...
This is seriously interesting talk radio right now, I can tell.
Okay, so... Oh, I could save it to my gallery.
Okay.
3 seconds. That's all you get. Wait, what if I want to add
text? I don't know.
I thought that was on.
Oh, wait. I got to add you. How do I add you? What's your username?
Oh, you can send it to multiple people. That's cool. I think you're going to get it sent. All right.
Oh, there we go. Boom. Okay. Yes. Okay. I just sent you one, too. This is awesome. Okay, let's see.
So you got to open it up. I want to see if it tells me if you...
Hey, it says hi. I got you. What's up? Oh, it's done. I was short.
3 seconds, man. 3 seconds. That's all you get. And it says it was opened. There you go. All right. So press and hold. This whole Christmas tree. Nice.
Yeah. I gave you 5 seconds because I'm a nice person.
Appreciate that. All right. So that's Snapchat.
Seriously. Okay. Okay. You know what my first thought is? This is awful. I'm like sitting here going, so I wanted something that's
just so you know.
Thank you. So my first thought is, I was trying to figure out why you would use this, and maybe, I don't know, maybe this says a lot more about me than anybody else, but my first thought is, like, don't you use this for, like, bad behavior? Like, conversations or pictures that you want to disappear shortly after you've sent them. I mean, they even notify you if you take a screen capture of the picture they send you so that you don't, you know if that person has a permanent version of that, of that image that was sent, which I don't know.
Say that again.
They send you a notification if you take a screen capture of the picture so that you know if that person has a permanent
copy.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's all about non-permanence, which I don't, I guess I get, but I only get it in the context of it. And maybe this is just because of me. I only get that in the context of, I'm doing something wrong and I don't want any evidence. I could see as a kid, that you're trying to make arrangements to go make out with your girlfriend or go party with your friends, and you don't want that, like, left in your inbox on your,
You don't want it on your wall for your employer to find.
Exactly, which, I get the feeling, I get the sense that that's not what kids are using it for. They're using it as, like, this. Or the other thing I would do is I would send you really, really long texts. I'd send you, like... I guess what my thought is like, I'm not exactly sure how this would entertain me for more than like an hour, which maybe it's not. Maybe that's the thing, is like, two friends can only be entertained for about an hour. And, after that hour, it just kind of has gone wayward and you get bored. So this is my thought. This is actually why I want to get into what this is all about, is because, Facebook decided to offer the creators, owners of Snapcatch a ton of money. Not Instagram money, but a fair amount of money to be bought out by the Facebook. And what was interesting is that the owners decided to stay independent. They didn't want to be bought by Facebook. They didn't want to live that life. Yeah, no, that's cool. But obviously this all kind of revs up to the poke function on Facebook, which is basically a clone of the Snapchat app. And it was Facebook's response of, look, this literally takes like an hour to build. The only reason we wanted
it took them, what, 12 days?
Yeah, something like that. They're like, the only reason why we even bothered like offering you is because we just, by introducing a competing product, it's actually going to give you more press, which I think is a lot of what happened with, Foursquare when Foursquare decided to go up against Facebook. But what's weird about it is it's like
Foursquare's winning that war.
I know, but they're one of the few. The thing is, I guess what my question is. If the whole theme of Snapchat is non-permanence, aren't they a little bit worried that there's no reason to use their app?
I guess it's not like, all my conversations are archived on it. I'd hate for them to leave.
Right. And more importantly, it's like if I'm, exactly. And it's sort of gimmicky. Like, unless you are, engaging
Is it?
Well, I guess that's my question. Is it not gimmicky? Is there like a legitimate use for this that makes sense? I don't know. You know, okay, I've got a girlfriend and we want to be all like flirtatious and, you know, send goofy pictures to each other. But it's like, I don't know. I feel like, I guess if I were in high school, maybe I could see how this would be like, you know, something that, I don't know. I'm old because it doesn't make any sense to me. I don't understand.
The whole asset light versus asset heavy argument again. You know, this idea of like you want to keep your photos and your memories and you want to own them and be able to review them at will. And, you know, this generation is like, no, I don't have to own it. I don't have to have the picture. I just want to see it and then I'm done. I don't know. Is it a fad or is it going to stay?
I think it's a fad. I don't know. That's my point in all of this. I think Facebook almost gave a lot of money to a group of guys that are going to make a little bit of money, and then it's going to go away. And I think they huge mistake.
I think there's a part of me that's like, there's some things about it that are cool. I like the fact that you can annotate on top of the picture.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's the kind of thing where, like, honestly, Instagram should have said, like, oh, and now you can annotate your photos with different annotation texts and, you know, for the photos, we have filters. For the annotations, we have fonts, you know, whatever.
Well, yeah. Yeah. And the thing is that it's like, you know, as part of, yeah, like you said, as part of a bigger app, it's actually not a terrible idea, which is why the poke function I could see, because there I guess what my point is, I guess there is a certain amount. There are times when I could see, you know, for fun, brief periods of time, you know, and I keep coming back to flirtatious because the only other reason I could see using it is because I'm doing something illegal, in which case I still don't want them to know what I'm talking about. but, you know, I could see how it could have a place. It could be fun. But as a standalone app, man, it just, I don't know, except of course, the more I talk about it, to do it with, because I feel like it could be fun, you know, to find its own little culture. And what's interesting about it, and I guess, you know, maybe this was the logic behind it with Facebook, was poke was this really stupid function that nobody really could define or why it was there, but it was there, and it an entire culture with its own etiquette kind of built up around it, which this to me is like similar. We're going to let you send pictures to each other with a timer that prevents you from being able to hold on to it forever. And it's just like, I don't get it. Why would we do that? And yet it sort of catches on. I kind of want to do it. Man, now that I'm saying it out loud, I totally want to do it. Everybody on my list, I'm going to invite them to be friends with me. We're going to Snapchat it up.
Are you going to Snapchat it or poke it up? Because none of your friends are on Snapchat. So,
When I said none, I've got like 6 or 7. They're just not the kind of people that like – I didn't want to be like, look, I need to practice this before the show, so can you like be friends with me?
I'm just saying like if you're – you know, okay, you got 6 or 7 friends, but if the majority of your network is not on it, why – you know, reduce the friction and use Facebooks. Actually, the cool part about Facebooks I did download it and I sent you something. Can do just a straight up poke. You can send a message, a photo, which you can annotate, or a video.
Or a video.
You're not just subjected. And it has all the same, I'm guessing with the video, it's you watch it once. And it has the same restrictions, even with like the text. It's like, no, you can look at it for 5 seconds, then you're done, which is kind of what you were joking about. I'm going to send you a super long message and give you a second. Good luck. You know, and it's you go, hey, I want to send this photo to someone. You do it, and then it just gives you a list of all your friends, whether they're on it or not. So I'm actually curious, because you're not on Poke. I sent you something. I want to know how that works. Are they like, you got to download this app to view it? Or does it still work even if you're not on it? You know, because if that's the case, you're like, man, it's a better designed app, and if your network's not already on Snapchat.
James Furlow sent you a photo from Poke. To see it, get the app. So you can't do that. And let's see. And it doesn't – that's interesting. They're sticking to the mobile model. It does not show up on my desktop version of Facebook as a notification. It only shows up in the mobile app.
But did you get an email about it?
No, I didn't get any. I got a notification on the in the Facebook app, and I got a, but I didn't get one on the desktop, and it told me I have to download the app.
Okay. All right, that is cool. That'd be awesome if it was just like, you know, within Facebook they created a viewer, you know, just so you could see it.
They spent 15 minutes on this app that, like, does nothing. Yeah, you know, the equivalent of. Whereas, you know, the Facebook app is a gigantic, you know, project that they, you know, the future of the company. I can imagine that they'd spend a little more time, you know, integrating it.
Because that'd be cool if you could at least see it. And then they're like, oh, want to send one back? Download the app. Get in.
Right.
See who's on
which is basically what the Facebook Messenger is. It's – they have – every functionality of the Facebook Messenger is built into the Facebook app. They just – the Facebook Messenger app is just Facebook stripped away so that you get – you know, which I actually use. I like it. I think it's a good functionality. But
I just – it's weird. It's weird. Like you said, it's weird.
It's weird. And it's
– it's a Facebook quirk.
Yeah. And you know what? Snapchat.
So you're feeling old, huh?
Well, not anymore. Now that I've actually talked about it, and my first reaction was it definitely made me feel old because I was like, kids use this, and I don't get it. I don't understand at all what's going on. But now that I'm saying it out loud, I can totally see it. I can see it.
All right, so here's what I got to know because this is important for me. Are you going to use Snapchat or are you going to use Poke?
I'm going to try both. I'm downloading Poke right now.
All
right,
because, you know, I want to know where am I going to invest my time and energy getting people on. Because I want to make sure
that you know what. I'll probably try Snapchat out with a few people that are on it, but I'll probably use Poke primarily. So stupid. Press and hold. World podcast. Cool. Hey, and it's got a little countdown timer. I like that a lot more. Whereas in Snapchat, it's like, you know, all of a sudden, it's there and then gone.
You can't do a horizontal photo on Facebook.
Super lame. I shop Facebook. More like Failbook. That's actually a website and a very dumb one at that. Anyway, so, yeah, that's Snapchat.
All right, I'm sending a Snapchat. I got 5 seconds to a friend. Oh, I'll send it to you, too. Why not?
Let's do it. So seriously, if you're listening to the show and you know what you want to be our Snapchat friends, go for it. We'll be friends.
Boom.
Or Poke. I guess Poke's easier. Find us on Facebook. You know our names.
Just Poke us. Oh, I love it. So
that's why Facebook can win this sort of thing. But
let's talk about some real news. And by real news, I'm referring to one of the predictions that IBM has for the next 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, all this stuff, tell me.
So IBM comes out with their 5 in 5 every year, which I think is cheating, but they do it. Where basically they say, here are the 5 technologies that we think are really going to hit the mainstream in the next 5 years.
Cool.
Okay?
So I'm excited.
Want to know there? All right.
Yes, please.
Number one, this is over a 5-year time period, okay?
Okay.
Computers will have a sense of touch, a.k.a. real touch. When you're shopping for something online, you'll be able to actually touch it and feel like what it feels like. So if you're shopping for fabric, you could feel what the fabric feels like.
Which is something that we've talked a lot about on this show, and the idea of not just tactile feel feedback, but really, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't remember what the word I'm looking for is. And there's all sorts of really cool technologies out there already that actually seem to work really well and are very dynamic and are, you know, and long lasting, which I think will be, you know, fascinating to see how that goes over time. So I'm excited that IBM – what?
Yeah, so that's one of them.
I'm excited about the fact that IBM thinks that's a big thing because, you know, we talk about that and – you know, it's one thing when we think it's a big deal. I mean, we're right. But sometimes these other companies don't really get on board. It'll be interesting to see, the big question is, who's going to be the leader in this one? Who's really going to, you know, kick it off and make it so it makes sense? You know, in such a way that it, you know, gets in the hands of all the consumers. And the obvious answer is usually Apple, but they're not usually a leader in this sort of a new technology. They just usually do it right. they take a technology that somebody else has already figured out how to do, and then just, you know, tweak it so that it's everybody wants one. So that'll be interesting. I'm glad to hear that. That's exciting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Number two,
what's next?
Is seeing the forest, not just the trees. Okay.
All right.
So the idea behind this one is that computers will be able to analyze an entire image, not just look at each pixel, okay, but be able to process the entire thing. Okay, so it'll accelerate process of analysis. Let's see here. So, like, for example, if it sees a picture of a child, it'll go, it's a child, instead of going, it's a bunch of pixels.
That sounds really not that doesn't make any sense to me.
Basically, it makes things like parsing out medical images and traffic video faster. The difference between the computer viewing an image and understanding that image without having to break it down into its myriad components.
You see, but that's just not okay.
That's the way we see the world, right? We don't look at. I don't see your cells. I see you.
Well, so no, that's not true. What you see is a bunch of photons. That's what actually penetrates your eyes, and they hit a bunch
of... That's not how I interpret it.
You see, now that's the thing, is that you have built in a bunch of metadata. The image of me through the computer has all these levels of understanding, but you still process it in such a way where you break it down. You see me and individual components, and then you take it and you just understand better, which to me, all this is saying is it basically saying that image processing is going to get to the point where it'll actually be able to see an object and understand what that object is without necessarily having it sounds to me like they're saying computers will get to the point where they're not just identifying faces in a picture camera. They will actually be able to identify more objects than just who is this person, which in a lot of ways is what, you know, it's like, you know, your Windows phones already do that, where you can take a picture of your face and it'll unlock only if it sees your face. To get to the point where it can also identify apples and cell phones and you know, desk lamps and, you know, machine guns and all those sorts of things. That's the real goal. That was a weird collection of items. Okay.
Number three, along a similar vein, is hearing the whole story. They think that they'll be able to hear, like, total sounds, ambient noise, words, music, a lot of inputs to get the full story. It's not necessarily just hearing words. Hearing is also background noise. If a cell phone caller is in the middle is in a car with an engine running at 2,000 RPMs, you might even be able to tell if the driver is stuck in traffic or moving smoothly.
You know? Interesting.
I don't necessarily know what the use case is for that and why that would go mainstream.
Great. Well, you know, but that is, you know, that was one of the things. It's like, what company was it? They were talking. I think network providers.
Sorry, say that one more time. You were breaking up.
It was one of the big network providers. They wanted to build a microphone into your set-top box so that they could listen to your room to figure out what your living room, to figure out what you're talking about. Like if a commercial comes on, if you're like talking about something else, or if you're talking about the product, so that they can kind of pigeonhole targeting and they can use it to give you better ads.
That's interesting. So two thoughts around that you said that. Okay. Because one of the other examples they give was, like, for example, it could monitor a baby's cry and eventually be able to tell, is it crying due to a wet diaper, teething, or something more serious?
Yeah, you know what? They say that the number one
indicator... Dog barks.
They say that the number one indicator for early onset Alzheimer's is the length of time it takes a person to respond when they pick up the phone. So what? If you like click click when you like people what? With no signs, yeah, what? Huh? Okay. Yeah, no, that's not what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
I mean, like people with early onset Alzheimer's, they pick up the phone, and there's a long pause before they say, "Hi, this is Matthew." Whereas, you know, and you can really
whereas
get
my
it
wife
down
says it before the phone actually connects, which then
exactly.
creates that awkward silence where I'm
so
like,
she is negative Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
and that's
good yeah. thing she won't make it this far through the podcast.
And basically what's going on there is like. To me, that's GE has been really working on that, and a couple other medical companies. That idea of really being able to listen to everything and understand all sorts of different inputs, you know, and not yeah, like it makes sense. Siri, all she listens to is particular words,
right.
Whereas this is they want to listen to not just what you're saying, but how you're saying it and glean information from it.
So there is a Wired article that I didn't. Post or anything because actually I haven't finished it yet because I got the paper copy that the cover story is about robots actually and very similar to what we were talking about last week
yeah
that's why you listen to us because we were a week ahead of Wired magazine
what up
yeah but what they were talking about I thought was so interesting were different types of robots and automation and how they're going to take over our lives. And it was cool, but
that is literally what we were talking about. That's
I know.
Awesome.
Oh, I know. No, it's a good article. It's long. I didn't finish it. But
dude,
I'm getting there. Oh, I know. I'm getting there. So one of the examples they gave was this robot that tells jokes. Okay.
Yeah.
And they were like, "All right, fine. A robot that tells jokes, not that funny, but or not that amazing." But the big difference behind this robot was it actually started out as a different research project to gauge people's reactions, and then one of the workers was having fun with it and it telling jokes, and it kind of took off. And so now it literally tours the world. But they said, here's what this robot does is it tells a joke, and then it listens to your reaction.
Yeah.
And if you're like, ugh, or if you're like, ha-ha, that was the funniest joke ever. It's got a database of, you know, something like 15,000 jokes and wisecracks. and what it does – and they're all tagged and labeled, you know, all that fun stuff. You know, someone took a lot of time. They're like – it's like Pandora basically where it will go,
jokes.
Oh, you laughed at this one. I'm going to tell another one in that similar vein. And it dials in like what kind of humor you like. And if you're like crickets, like, all right, it'll try a totally different one. And, you know,
that's awesome.
try going down that way to see if it can narrow it down to where you are. So it's like, so by the end of the show, quote unquote, everyone should be laughing pretty hard because it's dialed it in on, you know, what makes it funny, which is just, an interesting conversation. But it's all based on this idea of it's listening to the room, trying to judge how funny you think it is.
Right. You see, what I really want, and that's cool. I really like that, and it's like my first thought. So I like Siri a lot. I use the voice commands on the Samsung Galaxy S3, and they were pretty good. But I use Siri all the time, especially because it actually works with my car stereo, which just goes through the tape deck. It'll like cancel its own noise out, so it can hear me. It's really cool. But the what was I going to say? But one of the things that drives me nuts about Siri is she has no idea what we were talking about 10 seconds ago.
Yeah.
Like as soon as you get like past the topic, I'm like you can't daisy chain commands unless it's one of their specific
right.
you know things that they're doing. It's like send a tweet. Okay, what do you want me to tweet? Send this. Okay, this is what I read. Did you want me to send it? Okay, send now.
Yeah, those you can't go, only... I changed my mind. Send it to Facebook instead.
Exactly.
Like, whoa,
there's
what?
Like, there, yeah, there's it just messes up. Or it's like, start playing that song again. Like, what song are you talking? Okay, I'll play all of your music. No,
yeah.
That's not what I want.
Starting
stupid
with A,
machine.
We're not even going to shuffle it for you.
Right, exactly.
Come on.
That's awful. and I just, you know, with some of those, like, easy contextual, like, I don't necessarily want Siri listening to all my conversations, but just longer conversation stuff of, you know, just paying attention to what we've been talking about. you know, as it were. And it's like, it's funny, like every once in a while I thank Siri, I get done and I'm like, thanks Siri.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're welcome. It's my pleasure. And I'm just like, this is stupid. I could say that to you anytime and you would just say the same thing. And then it would like, and then it responds with, I don't understand what you're saying when you say, that's so stupid. I'd say that. You want me to Google it for you? Like, ah, stop it. I want to talk. you know, and, but it's one of those things where you've got these really useful tools in their infancy and as time goes on. So I completely agree with them in this idea that as time goes on, computers are going to get much better at paying attention to conversations, listening to the whole room, figuring out what's going on, which is basically what we do. All they're saying is you're seeing the infancy of these technologies get into consumer hands that will eventually become more and more human in that they do a lot of different sensor processing, but they'll do it in the way computers do it, where everything is precision and timed, and it can measure milliseconds over time on the phone call to, you know, tell if you have Alzheimer's or going to die early.
Ooh,
so,
I got a Snapchat back.
Nice. So I don't know. That's cool. That's interesting. I agree with them.
Cool. IBM. It appears that they have this trend. They do touch. They do see. They do hear. Their next one is around taste, and then around smell. Those are their five. So with the taste, basically they'll be able to, you know, you'll be able to, robots, machines, whatever, will be able to taste things more. And then they also talk about how with smell, how you might be able to breathe into your smartphone. It'll be able to tell if you're about to get a cold or if you're too drunk to drive. It's conceivable that your doctor can diagnose you remotely based on the information that you get just from breathing into your microphone, I'm guessing. So.
Interesting.
Yeah, kind of interesting. And then they go on to say, how have they been doing? Because this isn't the first time they've done it.
Right.
So back in 2006, so 5 years ago, right?
Yeah.
How did they do? So one of the things it talks about says it was on the money with its call that people would be able to access healthcare remotely.
Okay.
That was a big deal in 2006. They also predicted real-time speech translation.
All right. Well, real-time? Pretty close.
It's pretty close. They did predict that there would be hydrogen-powered vehicles. And
there are a few.
You know, mainstream was kind of where they were headed.
You know, honestly, 2006, I thought the same thing. I think we just – there wasn't – I think what they – nobody foresaw was the idea that, oh, yeah, hydrogen is really expensive to produce. and that – and nobody really thought that far out. So I made the same mistake, you know, and I still think there's a huge area for hydrogen fuel. There are. Bloom Energy makes, you know, business with fuel cell technology, including hydrogen fuel cell technology. It didn't pan out as a way to transport because it turns out it's just really expensive.
So last year they made some predictions. So they still got 4 years to go. So, you know, there's that. They thought that we would get much better at capturing wasted kinetic energy from people walking, riding bikes, running, water, etc.
See, the problem I see with that one is that you're talking about major infrastructure changes because you actually have to add these things to, like, you have to build them into the shoes or you have to build them into walkways, and that's expensive. So I could see how that one would have a hard time, but I think I like the idea that we're going to get better from a technological perspective. That makes sense.
They also thought last year that we would have, well, they still got 4 years, mind-reading headsets that measure our brain activity and recognize our facial expressions. I've seen working prototypes of those.
I was going to say, they like sell those commercially, so I guess they're expensive. They're not mainstream, but they're commercially available.
Yeah. So anyways.
All right, they're doing well. That was an easy bet.
There you go.
Cool. IBM. Nice job, IBM.
For the future. We should do this that, too. We got to do our review. All right, so our next show is going to be what? A year in review, top 10 or something, and then predictions, right? Oh, we made predictions last year, didn't we?
I was going to say, I can't remember if we did our prediction show the weekend. I can't remember when we did our prediction show last year.
I don't know.
We'll have to look.
But
okay, this is what I say. I say we do a prediction show next week. I'm excited about it, and there's going to be no other news.
It's the 30th. That's a good time to do it.
Yeah, okay. We'll do a prediction show, and I am going to re-listen to our prediction show from last year so that we can laugh at everybody else who got it wrong and just...
I already know one I got wrong. But
well, yeah, me too.
That's all right.
Which one? Or Rin?
Yeah. I don't know how they did it. I don't know how they did it, honestly.
it's remarkable. It really is a remarkable story. I'm gonna double down on the bet, though. If they make it to 2014, I'm just quitting.
We started off so strong where they had the CEO turnover. And,
I know.
I was so pumped because I was like, here it comes. We're going to be right.
It's going to be the year.
Okay. All right. We're getting ahead
of
ourselves.
Yeah,
that'll be fun. All right. So next week, that's what we're going to do.
So
I'm just going to spend some time thinking about this stuff.
Tune in. So everybody, so you like SimCity, yeah?
Oh, I love SimCity.
I know. Are you excited about the new SimCity game?
Yeah. Pumped.
And everybody I talk to is, oh my gosh, they're so excited because it's like multiplayer now, and like people can, you know, you build your little region.
Don't even care.
SimCity.
I just like making cities.
Everybody seems really pumped about it. I mean, like really, really excited. Which,
dude, their trailers and demos look awesome.
Yeah, that's what everyone says. So the developers did a Ask Me Anything on Reddit earlier this week. Where they allowed people to ask them anything. And one of the things that came up was the fact that in order to play the game, you were going to have to connect through Origin, which is their online service. And it's awful. If you've never used it, don't. It's about as bad as it can be, but they really like it. So in order to play, you have to log on and go into it. Well, you know, one of the big things about SimCity is that although this is like their first, this is the brand's first real foray into multiplayer stuff, it's still primarily a single player game. So the question that everybody was asking was, so if I'm playing single player, you know, do I need to be logged in? And their answer was, yes, you do. You cannot play if you're not connected to the internet, which is pretty lame. And then it went on to say that it's like it gets worse than that. They're not going to save your game on your computer. They're going to save it to the Origin store, or their Origin service. So if you want to open up your old level, you actually have to go in and download your city from them like live, like you're playing online. Even when you're playing single player, which kind of is a bummer. But what's worse is because everything's saved online, if there's a break in your internet connection, even a temporary one, you know, it can mean that it doesn't get saved. It's basically you're playing online. It's now a massive multi-online, you know, MMO. It's now an MMO, but with a single player mode. With an MMO style thing. Bless you. Really upsets everybody because EA is notoriously terrible about their,
Origin is stupid.
Origin's
awful. I use that with Madden. Or I have to use it with Madden, and I hate it. It takes forever to load. I don't even know what the point of it is, but I'm not required to be online to play. So you know, whatever.
The point of it is that it's their attempt to try to reduce. What's it called? Stealing, piracy.
Here's an idea. Make a quality game, charge a fair price, make it easy to buy, people will pay.
James, that doesn't work. Just look at Steam. They're doing awful because that's exactly what their method is. And they don't make any money. Oh, wait. They make unbelievable amounts of money doing exactly that. Yeah, they make that. I mean, it's so bad, it's not even funny. It's so obvious. And it really is a bummer because it's like a lot of people are like, I was super excited about this game and now I'm not even going to buy it because you guys are so bad.
Wow.
They're, you know,
I hope that they let me just play. I really, 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 I cannot extend the really's far enough. I really hope that they make it so it's not that like, oh, you gotta wait for your credits to regenerate before you can build this next building. I hope they just let me play straight on. As long as I still have money. If I run out of money, okay, fine. I get it. I gotta wait for rents to be collected. Whatever. But no, to give me that, like, oh, you have power charges and you can't affect that. You can't increase it. It's just the way it is. We're trying to temper your game. Oh, if they do that, I'm gonna be upset.
I don't think they will. I don't think it's supposed to. I don't think it's a social game like they, like your Facebook versions of this stuff. I think it's just it's a massive multiplayer online role playing game, MMORPG. Man, I finally got it. The internet nowadays, there's still, it's like, I don't know, they're just,
I totally lost the last 10 seconds of what you said.
Well, I think it's dumb. I guess what my point is it's like, it's one of those things where, you know, geez, you know, they have so many bad practices and there's so many examples of the right way to do it. It's just like, you guys are shooting yourselves in the foot, left, right, and sideways. Why would you do this to yourself? You know, the thing that they got going is they got an unbelievable amount of money and they still make decent video games. People go out and buy them. But
their Madden iPhone game is pretty fun, I will admit.
Yeah.
I've spent more than a couple hours playing that game.
They have some good studios working under them. They got some good developers. I mean, you can't deny that. They just, you know, package it with all the garbage that is EA. And, you know, I think a lot of people underneath them know better, but for whatever reason, they, you know, whatever.
Well, I mean, we knew it wasn't going to be perfect, so.
Yeah.
I'm still going to buy it. Though. I'm pretty sure I'm going to buy it. I don't remember when it comes out, but. Of course, I was pretty sure I was going to buy X-Plane 11 when that came out. That never happened, so.
Yeah. I almost bought, what's it called? That one with the Assassin's Creed 3, like, 3 or 4 times. And every time I was like, I just can't do it. It's too expensive. But it looks really fun. I get excited. Which, honestly, that's why I stopped playing video games with, like, years ago, is because I kept going, wow, this game looks really fun. I just can't spend the money on it. And then stop playing video games. And so it goes. Anyways, so Tuesday, there was a bit of a kerfluffle, a great kerfluffle, as it were. I actually looked up the word kerfluffle because I've always really liked it. And
is it appropriate?
It's appropriate. Basically, there's a big hubbub, big shakeup, as it were. People were upset, unpleased with what was going on. Instagram decided to change their terms of services, and when I say Instagram, I mean Facebook, because they are a fully owned subsidiary of Facebook with their own brand. That's basically all that exists. They decided to change their terms of services where they would be able to use your pictures that you submit to them in ads and contests, specifically ads for contests. Was kind of what it was, but it was a very vague way of defining it. From what I gathered, it was generally accepted that basically what they were going to do is they were going to run contests where you would submit different pictures, and the picture that won in whatever test, they would, you know, that would go for, you know, that would be, you know, you'd win something.
That's
but then
cool.
They could use. Yeah, but then they could use that picture as part of their advertising. So basically they could say, your picture that you submitted was used in this contest, and so you won the contest. It's actually, like, really normal when you, like, when you sign over your own intellectual property, that's what you do. They were just asking for it on the front end so that they could go, you know, so they could just use it for anybody who submits. But the thing is that it was kind of vague. and the question is whether it was intentional or not. Intentionally vague, where it just basically gave them the rights to use any of your photos for advertising or contests or whatever. And so they could make money off the photos that you post, which got everybody really upset. And that was the kerfluffle. And so I kind of wanted to be a little bit patient about it, because, and I'm glad I was, because number one, I didn't really, at first I was like, there's so much conflicting information about what's going on here. But, you know, people were like, my favorite comment, somebody was like, if you just post a picture to Instagram where you say, you know, you officially declare that this is your intellectual property and Instagram can't use it.
I love that stuff.
It's like, oh.
I've seen those, you see those Facebook status updates too. Very dry. Like, you what? Yes. You see those Facebook status updates too.
Exactly.
Like, wonderful.
How do I identify your stupid friends? That's
still informed, perhaps.
Still informed. You're right. You're right. That's unfair.
Criticize the behavior, not the person. Come on. Okay, use the sandwich technique. Right. It'll all be fine.
yeah,
it's almost as if I took a management class.
It's almost. See,
or
that's
parenting,
no fun.
Perhaps.
When you criticize your own friends behind their back, that is drama. That is interesting. People like to listen to that, James. This sandwich stuff, that's boring.
Sorry.
No conflict.
That's right. We want to create conflict.
Exactly. So basically everybody got outraged that they're stealing all of your pictures. They want to, and they weren't really going to give you. And so like people were getting ready to like, you know, quit their Instagram account, get rid of their pictures. Like I saw links to like, this is an app that you use to download all your Instagram photos, so you can keep it stored. And this is, you know, this goes back to our people were, you know, how do you, you know, you were losing control of your stuff. And this is one of the consequences of, you know, you use these services, you can lose control. They make a decision to change. And Facebook, you know, is obviously notorious for this kind of garbage. And
Netflix loses a Starz contract and all the cool movies are gone. I get it.
Right, and, you know, but I've been paying, what the heck? You know, and I, more and more we're learning this, like, the hard way that things morally don't last forever, and sometimes you need to be able to, you know, move on and move out. You know, that's one of the nice parts
about
what...
That's why Snapchat makes total sense.
Yeah, exactly, because it is as light as it comes.
You just move in, move out, boom, done.
Exactly. And, yeah, and so all you Yahoo or your Hotmail users out there and Marissa Myers is your hero, because she's going to keep your email service around so you don't have to export everything.
Oh, that'd be horrible.
I know, that would be so bad. So many people use it too. I mean, it's crazy. But, yeah, so this is an interesting question, because it's like, should Instagram be able to use your photos for that sort of thing? Like, one of the things that I thought was I was kind of on board with this idea, and then XKCD in his normal form made a comment that just illuminated the topic quite nicely. And basically it's if you haven't checked it, it's comic 1150. It might be on the homepage right now, but we'll link it. And basically it's just the comment is comic is this dude complaining about how he's been storing all of this stuff in this guy named Chad's garage, and he's like complimenting on how nice it is, and then he's like, but I got this note from him, from Chad, and the note reads, dude, in like a month I'm gonna sell all your stuff left in my garage, just FYI, Chad.
Just FYI.
Yeah, and the guy responds like, this is such an outrage. So it's like, this is no way to run a storage business. And the other character, are you paying him to store your stuff? And the guy's like, no. And, you know, and he's like, what are you, how is this a storage business? This is just his place that you're storing your stuff.
Well,
like,
I think it's more subtle than that. I think it's, you know, he says, then what he runs isn't a storage business. He's not saying it's not a business.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. Yes. I mean, it's just so funny, and then, you know, and the end response is, of course, well, I'll just run across the street and store it in somebody else's garage.
Here you go, Flickr.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know. It just, the whole thing is like, that was the, in case you're reading it and you're like, it doesn't say that in the last panel, read the meta text, man. That's where the importance, that's where the best joke in all XKCD comics are. Which I'm not exactly sure why he doesn't just make that the last joke of the frame, but
this is brand.
I know, it's true. But he,
I was reading, total off topic, but I feel like this was on Dig when Dig was cool. Maybe not. Maybe it was a Reddit thing. I don't feel like Redditors would have this problem. But anyways, it was back when Steve Jobs passed, and he did the little ball thing. And, you know, and he was just like, and in his hover over, he talked about how he always, whenever you see the ball, he's like, I just hope that it will stop and, you know, go back to it, but it never does. you know, and I mean, it was me, it was touching, and it was appropriate. And someone shared it somewhere and was like, ah, XKCD, awesome. And, yeah. And like, there were a couple of comments that were like, where did you get that from? It says nothing about that. And, oh yeah. And this is, you know, one of those threaded comment things. And all of a sudden people are like, whoa, wait a second. You can hover over these and there's pictures, there's words. They're like, I've been following him for so many years and I never even knew that. I'm like, how do you not accidentally learn that? But okay. Yeah. All right.
I'm going to say, I've been reading XKCD since he was like on comic 150. And I think it wasn't until I got to like 250 that I finally realized that that was like a feature and I had to go back and like read them all. But yeah, it's amazing. So
funny. You're just like, oh man. But I just loved all these comments of, I mean, yeah. There were a lot of comments. People were like, wait, what? I just lost an entire afternoon right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they gotta go back.
And the thing is they are literally, that's usually the funniest joke of the entire strip, is his hover text.
P.S. And here's a little mini advertisement for Flipboard. If you subscribe to the XKCD RSS feed and view it in Flipboard, the obvious problem being that you can't hover over a picture and have the text show up. Flipboard is smart enough to know that and actually puts the text underneath the comic.
Really? So that's cool, because I know...
I don't know if they do that just for him specifically, you know, if that was like a, hey, if this is XKCD, you know, do that hack, or if they do that for all photos, I'm not sure, but...
I don't know. Maybe. I know that the XKCD mobile site has the meta text labeled below it, so they might just link to the
that
meta...
That might be what it is, yeah.
...to his mobile data, but I don't know, it's... But the bigger point here was, like, you know... It is an interesting question. It's like, what right do we have, you know, like when, you know, for me, we go back to this whole idea of, you made the comment of, like, last week we were talking about the fact that, you know, I kind of want to have my, I want to store my own pictures. I want to do my own thing. I want to build my own website. I want to display them on my own, and I want to have them with me. I want to store them. And you made the comment of, why not just use Instagram? This is why I don't want to just use Instagram, because it's, you know, if, who knows what they'll do? I want control over my little domain. I want control over the quality. I want control over the, you know, over what they're done with them, how they're stored. And yeah, it costs more and it takes more time, but it, you know, you build your own
service the way you want. And if people agree with you, they will sign up for it. And
exactly.
I mean, that's how entrepreneurs get started, right?
And then I can steal their passwords.
Yeah.
And
perfect.
It's actually, that was an idea that was introduced to me through XKCD as well, and I've always kind of wanted to do that, which is like, pretty much every single one of these entrepreneurs, like, they have this mountain of passwords and emails, and most of the time, the email and password combination that you give them is the same one that will allow them to log into your email and password account, because that's how we work. and so, you know, it's just terrifying.
I think, like, to answer your question, it depends, you know, obviously if, you know, for me, it's kind of like when I first heard of Instagram, my initial reaction was, I can take a picture and I can email it, and I could email it to Facebook and to Twitter and to Flickr and to specific people.
Yeah.
Done. All this gives me is it forces me to make it into a square and filters.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, is that really that worth it? That was my initial reaction to it. I still signed up, you know, because that's what I do. But yeah. But I was like, I'm gonna email anyways. And I'm trying to remember why I eventually switched over to mostly using that. I don't remember the exact reason. Other than it became faster than emailing.
Yeah.
And so you're like, all right, I guess I'll do this.
It is pretty convenient, I'll be honest.
Yeah. you know, so that was, because I remember it was one of some of my very first ones. It was when I was taking my India trip, and for whatever reason, I was like, oh, yeah, I'll use Instagram. It'll be fun.
Nice.
And so, you know, so that was there. But I guess what I was going to say is, like, with a lot of these services, they pop up, and then I immediately think, like, okay, and we did this with Snapchat. All right, how do I use this the way that the service is built? You create a work, a system around that. Yeah. You know, whereas you've got some idea in your head on how you want your photos to work, and there doesn't happen to be a service out there that matches that perfectly. And right. I think with a lot of these, you're kind of like, well, I didn't really have an idea beforehand, so I'm kind of flexible at the moment.
Right.
And I think
what I'm supposed to do with it.
Yeah, and I think as long as a company displays a sign of, you know, that they genuinely mostly care about users and their experience, and they try to be fair and, you know, and just in their business dealings. You know, you see something like this and you go, they might have made a bonehead mistake and they might have written it really weirdly and not communicated it properly. But I genuinely believe they're trying to do something honest. They're not trying to hoodwink me and steal my photos and profit off of me.
I mean, especially
a company like that where you're like, I'm not tied in, really, other than, you know, my friends are on there, but come on.
Right. My biggest concern with Instagram, and I think, you know, a lot of people, like, the conversation completely changed when they got bought by Facebook. Like, before that, I think people were willing to give them the benefit of the doubt and this sort of thing. And now the question is,
says something
this
about
a,
Facebook.
Yeah, well, that's my point, is I think that a lot of people feel that Facebook has very poor
morals.
well, not just morals, but poor. Well, and what's interesting about it
look
is that
with Snapchat, right? I mean, there's their respect level. Oh, we'll just clone your service. There you go.
And
at least with Google, they pretend like it's innovated. Or Apple. Well, yeah, we did copy everybody, but we changed a couple things because we thought that was better.
Yeah. See, what everybody else did was completely wrong.
I hope Snapchat sues Facebook.
Yeah, it might actually. But the thing is, I guess what my point was going to be is that, you know, Facebook has never, well, and specifically Mark Zuckerberg has never shied away from the fact that he believes that all information should be public.
True.
Like he doesn't like the idea of private and protected profiles.
Himself.
Yeah, ironically, and the thing is that, you know, is that for them, that's a very Facebook-y, that's a Mark Zuckerberg philosophy thing to do. And, you know, and his argument being, why would you put it online if you didn't want it to be public? And if you think about, like, where he comes from, there's a certain amount of truth to that. Why would you put it on somebody else's server if you, you know, unless you're paying them specifically to protect your data, why server, which is the argument that XKCD has, which is, why would you put your stuff in Chad's garage and just leave it there if you're, you know, if your expectation
is semi-public? Come on,
right,
I want my
exactly.
friends to have access. I want to have access, but not everybody.
Right, and the problem is that,
and
you
not
know,
the
Mark
guy running the place.
Right, exactly. And the thing is that you know, and you know, he started it out as it's exclusive, and that's what made it catchy and fun, and allowed him to grow like wildfire. While MySpace was the dominant incumbent at the time, but what that gave it, what the reason why people flocked to it was because it was a bunch of college students that didn't want to share all of their parties pictures with their family on MySpace. And so it was a walled, protected, your information was private inherently, and which set up this entire culture and expectation of the ability to have privacy. And that was never Mark's intention, where Mark's intention was actually to do things like, you put your relationship status so everybody knows, nobody has to ask, you know, and you put information about yourself, you share your pictures, you share your statuses, you know, all of these different things. He was all about sharing, and he just made it exclusive to campuses to make it seem cool, but the intention was always to open it up to everybody. And whereas Instagram, we don't really know what their intentions were. I think my personal belief is that they did value that you know, desire to have, you know, to be protected, to not have your stuff be, you know, instantly searchable by everybody, and to have a certain amount of you know, privacy if,
my
if
stuff
you wanted
isn't
it.
Searchable by me either, so.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Whereas as soon as Facebook gets involved, all of a sudden all your stuff is going to become public to everybody. Every time they change the terms of service, every time they talk about anything, it's so influenced by Facebook and that philosophy. Whether I mean and I actually shy away from calling it immoral because I think the morality on this one is very blurred. It's weird. You know, it's not traditional, that's for sure. But I don't think Mark is necessarily immoral. I think he's just very non-traditional in how he views this sort of thing and not necessarily wrong. And so it's, you know, the question to me is, you know, is this just what we buy by giving this data to, you know, to Facebook and, you know, and, you know, doing it for free. I don't know. It's an interesting dilemma and one that's not going away because Facebook is proving that, you know, that how valuable, they're actually not proving how valuable it can be because they're not making any money off of it yet, but they're sure trying hard and eventually they might crack that nut. And when they do, you know, that whole idea of contextual understanding, you know, IBM, like we were talking about, one of the big things of what they're talking about is understanding more than just grammar and spelling, but understanding what the paragraph is trying to say. As soon as you can get to that, which is what we were talking about just last week, as you start to understand a holistic picture, you get more information and it's more readily useful for other tasks. And that's what Facebook's trying to do, is to understand you based on what you put it on there and so they can make money off of it. And you know, and obviously they provide a service through, you know, that makes you want to come in. I don't know. It's just, to me, I get here, I think about all this and I go, oh, it's just so weird. People act like it was some sort of, you know, moral injustice and, you know, it was like the worst thing that could have, you know, happened. And you know, privacy advocates were out there screaming their heads off and they got, you know, Instagram within a few days. Yeah. They got Instagram to change it back in, you know, in a matter of a few days. But, you know, ultimately, it's like, did they do anything terrible by making that, you know, their policy? And, you know, I don't know. I actually don't think so. I think it's fair game. Honestly, I think it's fair game. And at least they're giving you a heads up. You know, hey, this is what we're going to do with your photos. Now, it's easy for me to say I have pictures of flames on there that I download from other sites. So it's like, you know, it wasn't very, you know, it didn't hit home to me because it wasn't going to cost me anything.
Personal, right.
Exactly. But at the same time, even if I had a bunch of pictures on there, you know, that could happen all at the drop of a hat with Facebook. It really could. And, you know, and am I all right with that? I think I suppose I have to be. But that goes back to our, you know, our strategy of we want to be the number one Google search when you type. If it were up to me, when you typed in the name Matthew, Google would show up all of my websites. Ooh. I want to be, you know, which would be pretty
That's
cool.
A goal.
But, you know, you know, I'm gonna have to do something better than WordPress in order to do that, I think, but that's which is a tall order. and I think I guess, to me because I have an appreciation for the idea that these things this information doesn't go into a lockbox. You know, it's just there. It floats all over the world oftentimes. You know, to me it's like I do live in the principle of if I don't want it to be public, I don't put it online. That's all it is. And if I'm willing for it to be – if I put it online, it means I'm willing for it to be public. And, you know, and I think that we need to change our mentality as a culture to get to the point where, no, I'm all right with somebody else making money off of my stuff. And if I'm not, I can't put it on Instagram even if it's free right now because once it's on their servers – what's to protect me and from – you know, protect my data, my intellectual property.
Side thought.
Okay.
What does it say in the photo space that Facebook had to buy one competitor and then had to try to copy another competitor in order to stay ahead in the photo wars? Eventually, is there going to come a company that Facebook is struggling to copy, and they're going to lose out the photo war too? Because I would argue, I mean, they went 0-2 in the mobile space, and I mean they copied Snapchat. I don't know what the, you know, what the final result's going to be of that, but they had to copy them. They didn't come up with something on their own. I wonder, is this the first sign of the Facebook armor chink? I mean, they didn't win the whole location thing. Foursquare is still very much in command of whatever that is. I don't know how valuable that is.
Well, the rumor is that they're going to tie Foursquare information to Apple Maps in the next OS release, right, which will be very valuable.
I guess,
Apple will pay for it.
Yeah, there you go, I guess. It's just interesting. I don't know. That was just a side thought. I'm going to mull that one over.
Yeah. No, it is an interesting... That could be what undoes Facebook, is the photo war, which is why they spend so much money on it, I think. But it's the big question of, you know, the big question, you think about our culture. It's like, you know, ever since the advent of the camera, you know, taking pictures has been a big thing. We put gigantic pictures on our walls. We put, you know, huge, okay, like, let's think of the context of images. You know, it's like the Sistine Chapel is, you know, why is it great? Well, it's not because it's a chapel. It's because of the paintings on the wall. It's the pictures. You know, we've got, you know, it at our family home, we've got a friggin', you know, bookshelf full of photo albums. Photo albums have been a huge thing over the years. Like, you know, most people don't keep journals. Most people, you know, a lot of the functionality that's added to Facebook is new and less traditional, whereas photos is something that humanity has been dealing with, how to keep, preserve photos for thousands of years, you know, and Facebook hasn't figured out how to become the thing of the future, I think. You know, it's like, to me, if I'm gonna host photos online easy and cleanly, I'm not going to use Facebook. I'm going to use Imgur is the one I always go through. It's a much better photo hosting site. And that's the problem, is it's like Facebook is I'm pictures I want to share with friends. And generally speaking, it's pictures that somebody else shared with me. That's where the 98% of my pictures come from, you know, on my photo page. They're not hosted through me. And I have pictures all over the place online. It's just not through Facebook, and that's a huge problem for them, because for whatever reason, I don't, you know, and like, you know, obviously I'm kind of an extreme case in that, you know, I want to build my own website on my own server to do my pictures. But I think, you know, I think oftentimes in the tech world, I tend to be an extreme version of, you know, I tend to be ahead of the curve on these sorts of things, sometimes in good ways, sometimes in bad ways. But, you know, but the trends that I feel at, you know, 98% is what everybody else is feeling at like 40%. And I think that's one of the big reasons why Facebook is having such a hard time. I'm at 98%. I don't want Facebook to manage my photos. I'll have them there if I must, but, you know, I don't need it most of the time. And so my guess is that most people have this kind of uneasy dealing with it. And what's fascinating is, as I get like more friends and time goes on and you get to into their network of apps that they use, it's amazing how few people like put photos on Facebook, and they're just trying to figure out like, why do you put a photo here and a photo here and a photo here and a photo here? You know, you and I are weird in that we've actually like tethered everything together. So the same photo goes from Twitter goes from Instagram to Twitter to Facebook to Google Plus, and just, you know, there's one photo and it's everybody has the same copy of it, or it literally references that same URL. But you know, I don't know. It's a weird, man. That very well could be the undoing for Facebook, because if somebody else figured out a way that made people happy, you know.
Someone else figured out a way to make people happy.
Yeah. That would be very valuable, actually. That would be worth a lot of money. But, you know, if you could figure out how to become the photo album of the future in a legitimate way, I think that would crush Facebook. You know, I think that would really, really hurt Facebook is what it comes down to. I say that as though, like, you know, I just did what I usually hate reading from tech pundits and stuff, where you give a platitude or a general idea. If you can become the photo album of the future, you could be. What does that even mean, though? And that's the thing, is that I don't know what that means. I don't think anybody knows what that means. And clearly Facebook doesn't know what that means. So whoever figures that out first, or, you know, some form of that, or whoever looks at the situation differently, everybody's trying to figure out how to be the photo album of the future. The first person that decides we don't need, or shows you that you don't need a photo album anymore,
Snapchat.
That's the guy that's going to change the world. Yeah. That would be pretty amazing. That would be, you know, that would be. But you know what I mean? The problem is that right now Facebook is trying to be your photo album, and that's the wrong way to do it. Clearly people don't like it. They still trust their paper photo albums more, weirdly enough. The question is, who's looking beyond the photo album? And whoever's looking beyond the photo album, they're the ones that's gonna beat Facebook. And, you know, it could be, and if they got prominent enough, it could be enough to take Facebook down, because all of a sudden they could have a social network and a reason for people to join. And if Facebook couldn't replicate whatever it was they're doing, then, you know, that would be a death knell. You know. But I don't think Instagram's doing it either. You know, obviously Snapchat is doing something different. you can give them credit on being visionaries. Good vision or bad vision, I'm not sure, but they are visionaries. I don't know. What's beyond the photo album?
Video. Kidding.
I guess.
I don't know. You got anything else you want to talk about? I'll give you one more.
Una Mas.
I covered all my stuff. It was a boring week.
You know, there's other stuff. Like, I don't know, Germany, like, unveiled these 50,000-watt lasers that could shoot mortars out of the sky, which are cool, but you get to the end of the article and you realize, oh, America's had one for 6 months, so, you know, stop being cool, Germany. So that wasn't that much fun. YouTube is, like, taking away your total views from people because there's a whole bunch of fraud out there, which is interesting, but it's like, I don't know.
Did Psy go under a billion, or is he still above a billion?
No, yeah, Psy is nuts, but that was real, believe it or not.
Okay.
But, like, actually, some of the bigger ones is, like, Sony got millions and millions taken away. It was,
whatever. I mean, what is that? Why do I care, other than bragging rights?
Well, it affects where you show up in the in the ratings. But the big thing is that they're talking about, it's no longer just about views, it's about viewing time. That's one of the biggest it's about engagement. How long did somebody pay attention? Did they click through at the end of the link to the next link? YouTube is really, you know, their ratings are much
more relevant.
You know, right, and so this is a less relevant measure. Yeah, and they took, you know, they're doing this big winner sweep, and they're like, I don't know, it's just kind of,
right.
It is interesting, but I don't know.
Okay,
we can have a short show.
How about, are you doing anything fun for Christmas?
Yes, I am doing something fun.
I don't even know the answer to this.
That's right, I'm supposed to tell you. Christmas Eve celebration is not at 1 o'clock. It is at 2:30.
Thank you.
I realize that this is less important to you since you live in Oregon and it will be going on in San Jose, but,
I can set my expectations for when the FaceTime message will come.
Exactly.
I am going to be, I'm helping out with church stuff. So I'm actually like, I am busy from 3:30 until like 9 p.m.
Okay, well, that's good to know. Nuts. I will let the familia get their stuff together. So we FaceTime you at the appropriate time. And hopefully, I wonder if you can AirPlay it up to the Apple TV, because we will be at a relative who is, you know,
they have all the Apple goodies
with their 70 inch plasma TV,
which is what happens when you worked for Apple for a while and you own stock.
Yeah, turns out that's valuable. So
not
yeah,
as valuable
no,
as it was
fun.
6 months
I'm,
ago, but still valuable.
Yeah, give it 6 months though.
All right.
iPad
yeah.
Minis are so big. Anyways, yeah, we'll talk about how stellar of a quarter Apple had when their earnings report comes out, but it's going to be crazy. What else am I doing? Oh, Christmas Day. I feel like I'm doing something Christmas Day.
Opening gifts.
Well, yeah.
You're not traveling anywhere, are you? You're just.
No. Well, we're gonna go once again. You know, we're gonna do the dinner with family again.
Yeah.
We'll be home in the morning. I think I'm gonna. You know. So I guess the big question is, what are you hoping for? You know, to get under your Christmas tree, James.
Oh.
Do you have a Christmas tree? We don't have a Christmas tree.
I do. With all the ornaments at least a couple feet up, because we have a dog, and all of the presents hidden somewhere else because we have a dog. What am I hoping to get? I don't know. I'm pretty content with my life right now, so anything will be a pleasant surprise.
Man, it is so lame.
I'd be shocked at this. if my wife got me we set a relatively low budget this year, which is actually higher than last year. Because last year the budget was zero, and which I loved actually. I thought it was awesome.
I bet.
But my wife did not like that budget, so we had to, you know, compromise. So I won't. It
that was good of you.
Reasonable sized stuff, I suppose, which is okay with me. We're not doing anything either. We're just staying home, hanging out, taking it easy. Maybe do some work projects around the house. That'd be nice.
Right.
I'm back to it. I did a small project yesterday just so I could get a quick win with my hand. Like, okay, yeah,
nice.
I can still do stuff. I'm not a total gimp anymore. Which is good. Felt good. Then I tore the carpet up in one room and noticed evidence of termites in the floor and went, sweet, I'm putting the carpet back.
That's fun.
And we'll worry about that later.
That's the right attitude.
Yeah.
Why do today what you can put off to tomorrow?
Because it wouldn't last a day.
Yeah, I know.
That was when I went, I'm not going to have the house torn apart on Christmas. I'll wait until Wednesday.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
It was squishy. And so I was like, oh, I just want to know what's going on here so I can set my expectations for Wednesday. So
yeah. And now
I know.
They're set in. Ooh,
yeah.
That's awesome. Cool. It's cool. So you get the week off of work?
I do. I get off until the second or something, first or second.
Cool.
Nice.
I probably will only have a day and a half off all week.
Hey, like you said, it's better than not working.
Yeah. Hopefully he gives us an extra shovel of coal for the oven. I don't know.
Yeah, right.
I know. I joke, but if you're listening, Bob, I want to be working.
Cool.
But
awesome, dude. Yeah. Hey, tune in again, everybody, for next week, because we are gonna do a look back on our predictions for this year, and then make some predictions for next year. We'll probably make fun of other predictions while we're at it, and that'll be, well, I'm sure there'll be news somewhere in there, but, you know, we'll do that. Should be good. So everybody,
cool.
Thank you for joining us. Let's see, what is my name? My name is James Furlow, and my non-Mayan brother is Matthew Furlow. And so because the apocalypse did not happen, we will talk next time.
Woohoo! Cool.
I'm sure I can make it. I got my box of tissues right here. For when nice. I gotta be like...
still one of my favorite moments from the show. Oh my gosh. Oh, that was a good one. That was a good one.